A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First National Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbaribit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now we're going to talk to a deadly filmmaker, Aboriginal filmmaker, that's Dean Gibson, and talking about how he's casting a lens on Australia's modern prison colony with a film that's out now, Incarceration Nation. And we've got Dean online. Dean, very good morning. How are you, my brother?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me. I look forward to having a yarn.
Too deadly, my brother. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, my family is all up in Hopewell, and far north of you, up in Cairns.
Yes.
In, Cape York Peninsula, a little community called Hopewell. Good year with the people up there in Hopewell. And my personally, I'm living here, based in Brisbane. So I'm working out of Brisbane. Yes. A lot of family up in Cape York.
Beautiful. Thank you, my brother. Listen, so talking about using your craft, using the vehicle as filmmaking to educate people of the world in regarding, focusing on Australia's modern prison colony. And here's the new film out, Incarceration Nation. So tell us what it's all about and a lot of meat on the bone regarding this space.
Yeah, look, it's a really important film to make. It was a really hard film to make, and it's a really... It is a hard story to tell, but as Aboriginal people, we know it's a real story, and it's affecting people on a daily basis still today all across Australia at all different levels. And we wanted to, as a filmmaker, you know, I get opportunities to really be given chances to tell stories and tell people stories and share stories. And I think early on, about 4 years ago now, we sat back and talked to the mob down at NITV and said, What story do we want to try and bring to the national platform? And they clearly, justice and injustice in that space is a clear story that needs to be told. And they really spoke about, you know, daily they get bombarded in the newsroom with all this kind of footage that is really distressing and really challenging. And they wanted to try and tell the bigger narrative, the bigger story around that, so that people, both their audience and the broader Australia, can understand that this stuff is not just a modern day issue that, you know, dates back the last 30 years, the Royal Commissions and death in custody. It's bigger than that.
Exactly.
It dates back to 1788, and it dates back across the legislation that's played out, both historically too, is important. And we want to talk about the historical components of the story that dates back, well beyond our lives and to our families' lives.
Well, it is real. That's what we're talking about. And, 430-odd black deaths in custody.
Yeah.
And here you are as a filmmaker, black one at that, my brother, and using this vehicle to tell the story and tell the real story.
Yeah, and we didn't want to take that lightly. Yeah, and you can't take that lightly.
No.
You know, that's 434 lives.
Mm.
That's 430-odd and more growing daily.
Exactly.
That's 400-plus families. That's 400-plus stories. That's all these real... You know, this is really important, and we wanted to make sure that if we were going to do this, we're going to do it properly, and we're going to do it really in a way that, you know, talk to all those families that were involved that we used in the film. We wanted to make it really clear that what we were trying to say with the film and really show them that this is, you know, it's amazing. A lot of that footage in our film, no one's ever asked for that permission to use that footage. And we were some of the first people to ask those families to use that permission because we knew that's important.
Exactly.
That's a story behind that name. That's a story behind that figure.
And cultural protocol.
Recognizing that. Yeah.
And exactly, brother.
It just matters, and it just shows the audience and the families that we aren't just here to make a film that will get people talking, but we generally want to hear these stories. And sometimes we don't have the luxury to tell every story on the screen.
Exactly.
But we want to make sure that families know that we recognise and respect their story just as much as someone who did feature in the film.
Sure, exactly. And it's not as though that we're jumping on the bandwagon with the Black Lives Matter, you know, with the brother, you know, Floyd, George, that's right, with his situation. No way. I mean, this has been going on for years in this country, and we need to shine the light on it, and we need to stamp it out.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, that's one of the questions we asked early on in the film in our research is, why did it take the sad passing of George Floyd over in America for people to sort of make themselves aware of their own backyard?
Exactly.
And that's not, and I don't want to point fingers at people, make them feel guilty about that.
No, but tell
it's
a story.
Really important. Tell a story, yeah. Like, and people would understand, well, this is not a new story. This mm-hmm. is not a new. This is not worldwide. This is not new, and particularly not in Australia. This is not new. And you can, you know, the great part about the Floyd protests is that Aboriginal flags, Aboriginal posters, Aboriginal people, family members on posters, all littered through the country sharing that story. And, you know, if it took, sadly, that death to get a new people, a new audience to sort of understand that, well, I guess that's okay. But the reality is this stuff's been going on and it will continue as it will unless we really have the courage to sort of step up and look it in the face and determine what we want the future to look like.
Brother, so tell the mob there about Dean Gibson. How did it all start for you in this industry, brother, filmmaker?
Yeah, look, I was lucky enough to go to a film school here in Brisbane.
Yes.
And yeah, that was really, I was given a chance to go study and learn the craft of filmmaking. And for me, you know, I've always loved telling people stories and people's photos and images of people and insights. So I think I love the trust. I love when people really share their story and have the courage to share their story with me, and that's a privilege, you know. That stuff's really, I don't take that lightly.
Yes,
that's a
good
real
on you, brother.
Big part of. But I think, you know, and then the big opportunity for me was when NITV launched, and that really gave a lot of Aboriginal film practitioners, filmmakers, producers, directors,
a bigger platform, brother.
Yeah, opportunities, bigger platforms, and authority to have to come into the space and go, you know what? We're going to be part of our storytelling. For once, we're going to pull the power back from institutions or libraries or whatever, whoever's telling our story in the past, and we're going to have some authority around that.
Exactly.
And that was a really important step in our nation's media to actually recognise that. And sure, it's a little channel. It's sort of operating on the sniff of an oily rag, but hey.
Yep, a little small channel, but it's, a giant in regarding a platform, you know, as such.
You know the song from Little Things, Big Things
Grow,
and I think it's true, you know.
Exactly.
You've got to start somewhere, and for us it was about getting the power back on our own stories and not giving that to a university or not giving that to an institution. Or, you know, it was about filmmakers and artists and storytellers getting that platform for themselves, and that came at a really interesting and a perfect time for me. And
good.
I guess I've been given chances since then to be part of telling stories.
Meant to be, brother. So, as an Aboriginal filmmaker, like I said, casting lens on Australia's modern prison colony, your film Incarceration Nation. So it is out now. How do mob see the film, brother?
Yeah, it's been on screen on NITV, so people can catch it now on the SBS on demand. So just go into your search engines and type in SBS on demand, and that'll bring up the player, and then you'll see Incarceration Nation on there. I guess, look, just, you know, it's important to note it's heavy going.
Sure.
And it's going to be a challenge to watch for some people.
Yes.
So just kind of watch it with care. Watch it with people around you. Make sure you've got support people around you.
Lovely.
And you recognise that it could open up some tough things for you. And that's part of the story, and sadly, that's the truth of it for us, for Aboriginal people. But I just want to encourage your audience to have the courage and strength to get in there and support the families who've shared their stories in the film.
Lovely, beautiful. Dean, look, all the best to you, my brother. Thank you very much for sharing. And, look, we'll yarn soon, brother. Stay safe, eh?
Yeah, likewise. And take care, everyone, and have a great morning.
Take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. That's Dean Gibson, his name is, Aboriginal filmmaker, and casting a lens on Australia's modern prison colony. And his film that's out now, Incarceration Nation, and you can catch it on SBS, NITV, and do check it out. But like you said, heavy going, but telling the real story and telling how it is. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
There's no drummer boy, no tall Christmas tree. By our campfire that I can see, who were the three kings? Where's Bethlehem? I live near Alice Springs since I remember when. 'Cause in the dream time it's Christmas all year round. Peace on earth and love abound. There's no reindeer here, only silent night. For 60,000 years before Jesus Christ, we have peace on earth, goodwill to all. In our dream time that I recall, 'cause in the dream time it's Christmas all year round. Peace on earth and love abound. In the dream time.
Dream time. Boys, don't need Christmas trees. We have our dream time history.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
skirt, skirt, skirt. Ani mini gaba, gal mina unane. Anelinga anu chumbo, chichurut mungola. Buujinga anina, ngbana noluwa. Anelinga tiwi.
Mm-hmm. folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
This world is all about individuality. You gotta be high, all that you can be, yeah. You don't know what you think you know. I know what you think you know. A little more of wisdom won't go astray. The richest man is just a fool, but the wisest will always rule. You get there. Getting stronger. You've been here, you've been there. You've done this and you've done that. You think you know it all, but you just don't know where it's at. It's all in heaven, the wonderful realm of God. It's all in heaven, the wonderful realm of God. You get there. Keep getting stronger.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, doctors are warning the Morrison government of the imminent health threat posed by climate change. We're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Beau Frigold, Queensland Chair at Doctors for the Environment. Dr. Beau, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning to you too, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, climate change, global warming, it is real. And you're saying that as doctors and Queensland Chair of Doctors for the Environment, you're warning the Morrison government at the imminent health threat posed by climate change. Can you enlighten us, please, what sort of disease or health problems we may have thanks to climate change if we don't act on it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to talk to you and your listeners about this. Really, it's sort of a call from, you know, our organization, Doctors for the Environment Australia, and really a whole series of doctor organizations from across the country, really trying to encourage the Morrison government to have very swift action to address climate change and global warming, specifically to reduce our carbon emissions in this country and how much we contribute to the carbon emissions around the world in the name of human health. As you said, we know very well that climate change and global warming has been happening, and it's been happening for a number of years now, and happening in such severity that it's starting to impact human health in a variety of different ways. One of the main ways is the way that it's changed heat. We're certainly exposed to more extreme heat now than we ever have been, in more frequency and in more severity. And so when people are exposed to heat that often and that frequently, it causes health issues.
Yes.
So in sort of the acute, sort of immediate instance, things like heat stress and heat stroke, which can be very life-threatening if it's severe enough, and it's limited our capacity to be able to enjoy things outdoors and play sport and to sort of live active lifestyles outside because it's just getting so hot. And that heat can also affect people who already have medical conditions. So if they have a heart condition or a lung condition or a kidney condition, that heat can make those conditions worse. And so we see it in our hospitals and in our GP practices across the country. A lot more presentations from people with, you know, exacerbations of their medical issues when we're in those heat strokes and in those heat changes. And so we care about it as people who care about human health and the health of our community members. We think it's important that we advocate for this issue.
So with the government being slow in the process and regarding acting on climate change, they're dropping the ball in this space. And we are a first world country, but we are behind the eight ball in regarding other countries leading the way. Australia's not, and they need to pick their game up. Is that right?
Yeah, you couldn't be more correct. I think, you know, especially there's a new report that the World Health Organization released recently that basically says that, you know, climate change is getting extremely out of control, and we basically have the next 10 years to try to drastically change course. And they've asked for really significant changes from a variety of countries to sort of meet that need. And a lot of those countries have changed their targets in terms of how
they
want to reduce carbon footprint. Australia has not. And we rank last in amongst all developed countries in terms of our response to sort of the climate crisis. And so that's part of the reason why we've launched this statement and sort of done this campaign, because Australia is one of the largest contributors to the carbon footprint in this country, in the world. And we export a lot of carbon in the form of coal and gas to other countries to use. And so we need to be held accountable for that.
And
the government needs to be doing better.
Need to be doing better. Okay, thank you. So this this program is a national program, and government do listen to our yarns. So with you as the chair of Doctors for the Environment, who do you take this information, this push to? Who do you talk to at the government level?
Yes, I mean, I think because we are a doctor organization, we're given a certain amount of, respect sort of within our local communities, but also at the national level, because we are sort of, you know, scientifically based, reputable people. And so I think government officials do listen to what we have to say.
Yes.
I know in Queensland, we've met with the state government and have been meeting with them to talk about how how in Queensland we address those things, meeting with the health minister, the environment minister, other, you know, people in Queensland Health, et cetera. And we do that across the board in other states as well, and meeting with the federal government to say, look, if for no other reason than for the sake of the health of our communities and of Australians, we need to be doing this and taking it seriously. We can't just say that it's about, you know, jobs and the economy anymore. It also needs to be thinking about us and our health.
So when the so-called folders are at the table, when the documents are at the table, it's not all about COVID-19. There's more to the agenda, and we're talking about climate change. The government needs to act on this.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, we've been so hyper-focused on sort of the COVID pandemic over the past year and a half, and rightly so, but there's another crisis that's been happening behind the scenes and been happening for much longer than this that we can't ignore, and we have a certain amount of time to make the changes necessary to limit really significant changes to our atmosphere, to our ecosystems, to our natural world. And so if we don't start doing things about it now, we're going to miss our chance.
Well, here's another string to the bow regarding your argument or your push for climate change and the government to act on it. Thank you very much for your yarn, Dr. Bow. We'll be watching closely. Please do keep in touch, and all the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the chance to chat with you. I appreciate it.
Take care, Dr. Bow. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Deadly young there. Dr. Bo Frigault, his name is, Queensland Chair at Doctors for the Environment. And doctors warned Morrison government of the imminent health threat posed by climate change. So, yes, it's not all about COVID-19. There's other few items on the agenda, so to speak, in regarding health for all Australians. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black.